And welcome to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb. My name is Karen Morton and we have a full menu highlighting places to pop into along the London Road in Brighton. And there's a green flavour to our show today. We are feeling the love, as food and drink always tastes better when we share it with others. So pull up a seat, grab a cuppa and enjoy sharing with me and our wonderful lineup of guests. We have Adam Buckingham from The Real Junk Food Project, Katrina Lane from Brighton Food Tours, who will tempt us to celebrate and support Brighton's homegrown independent food businesses. And we do have a new business to Brighton, This Little Piggy. Yes, you know it, went to market. Well, they're actually here in the studio and we're getting lovely wafts off their lovely, delicious foods. They're going to be serving up sausage rolls that are far from just any old sausage rolls. Now, if you would like to get in touch with us, you can tweet me at Radio Reverb or at my namesake at Karen Morton 1077. You can also email us here at the Food and Drink Show. You can go to us online to our website, and that is radioreverb.com. So a lovely day today, and we're going to have that action-packed show as I promised you. Now, let's take a look at what else is going on. There is always so much going on in Brighton and Hove, and what we are very good at is blending our love of food, drink and coffee with raising awareness and funds for good causes. Coffee shops across the city joined a nationwide campaign in the last week called UK Coffee Week in aid of Waterfall Charity. Your local coffee shop may have been one of them donating a slurp off your coffee to the worthy cause. Here are some of the wonderful coffee shops that actually got involved in raising the money. FCB Artesian, we have had the Small Batch Coffee Roasters, Pelican on Portland Road in Hove, Eaton and Drinkin, there's a great name, the Laughing Dog Coffee Tsar, Redwood La Cafe, we've had the Coffee Tree and Wheat and Beans, oh yes, there's some great names here, and Moksha Cafe from the London Road, the Parade of Shops, that is a beehive activity. They all joined in and ran all sorts of fun activities to raise awareness and add a little bit of entertainment to liven up our coffee drinking. Well, I joined in too. Of course, it's the only thing to do, and had a cuppa at Moksha Cafe and had a chat with owner Ollie about UK Coffee Week.
My name is Oliver from Moksha Cafe, which is on York Place in Brighton. This week we've been promoting UK Coffee Week, which is a nationwide campaign to raise awareness for the charity project Waterfall, which aim is to provide clean drinking water in coffee growing communities around the world. This year the money raised is going to Ethiopia, to a region of Ethiopia. So we've been showcasing different coffees every day this week around the world in 7 days. So we're doing a coffee from a different origin, and we're donating 5p for every cup of coffee we sell this week to Project Waterfall. And then on Friday night we have a coffee tasting evening, which is sampling some Colombian and Guatemalan coffees, all of which have really different unique flavours. And our master coffee roaster, Richard, from Coffee Compass, will be coming down to guide our guests through the different range of coffees and opportunities to try them all afterwards as well, and ask lots of questions. And all the money raised from that, which is £10 a ticket, goes to Project Waterfall as well. We've been doing different ones this week. So we've been doing we've had Cuban ones, Guatemalan ones, Indian ones, and today we've got an Ethiopian yoga chef. It has a really floral taste to it, light tone, really nice cup.
lovely. And with the Cuban coffee, is that a darker roast?
Yeah, that is a slightly darker roast. That has been the customer's favourite actually this week. Between the Cuban, and we've also had an Indian Monsoon Malabar, which is actually one of the beans that's in our normal blend. Anyway, has a really nice dark roasted chocolatey flavour to it.
I'm not conscious of, I'm a big coffee drinker, but I'm not conscious of actually going and buying an Indian roast. So what is the taste that we're picking up there?
Lots of the Indian coffees are sort of black currant-y, chocolatey flavours. That's actually one of the, the fifth biggest coffee producer in the world. I think obviously India's famous for tea, but it also produces some really good coffee as well. The Indian monsoon Malabar, is once it's harvested, is exposed to the salty monsoon winds, which gives it a bit of its unique flavour as well.
Sounds really, really good. So there are some of the favourite coffees. Now, I've got one that I'm about to taste now at the moment, and do you know which one this is?
This is our normal our Moksha blend, which we use in majority of our drink. That's mainly made up of Peruvian and Indian Monsoon Malabar and a Peruvian Tunky Mayo. It also has a couple other origins in it as well, being Kenyan, AA and Colombian.
Wow, great. Well, I'm going to look forward to tasting this now. Thank you very
Good.
Much.
Enjoy.
It's great. Thank you. Cuban number. Well, it's kind of appropriate, really, isn't it? As at Moshka, the Cuban coffee, the blend, the lovely bean was by far the favourite of all the coffees tried this week during the very special UK Coffee Week, raising money for the charity Waterfall. So well done to Ollie and indeed to all the coffee shops that got involved. And we look forward to hearing how much you've actually raised from the Brighton and Hove area. So from a little bit of Spanish music, we're going to come closer closer to home. And this time we're going a bit green. We're still in the London Road area for eating and drinking. But this time, as I said, we're going green. Did you know that the average person throws away 74 kilograms of food waste each year? And that's about 15 million tons of food and drink. And in less than 2 hours in the UK, we could fill the Royal Albert Hall in London with our waste. It's food for thought, don't you think? Well, over the last week, I have been lunching at the Real Junk Food Pay As You Feel Cafe, both at St. Luke's in Prestonville and at One Church, Gloucester Place. Adam Buckingham and his team are passionate about re-educating the public about the value of food on their plate, as well as tackling food waste. And we had a chat about how it all started and his ambitious plans for the future. Adam, tell me, how did this brainchild of yours come about?
I can't take all the recipe for it. The brainchild was from a chap called Adam Smith, who started the first Pay As You Feel Cafe up in Leeds. He inspired me to set this up in Brighton. It was something that I saw on the Guardian website, a video of him driving around in his van in Leeds and picking up food that would be thrown away, taking it to a cafe and serving it on a Pay As You Feel basis. I've never seen something like that before that resonated with me very deeply, but also seemed to make a lot of sense in terms of what I've been doing with my life. Worked in the charity sector, worked as a chef for 6 years, was disgusted by the state of food waste, and was a bit of a loose end, didn't really know what I was doing. I was doing security work and, you know, felt a little bit downbeat about my purpose, and that struck me. So I quit my job and started doing this full time, fully commit to this, because it was what I wanted, really.
So from getting the idea and sort of following in the other Adam's footsteps,
yeah.
How did you get it started?
I think with a similar effect that Adam Smith had on me, I would like to think that I had that same effect, that people could see the vision of it and they could see that it was doing the right thing, it was addressing some really important issues. It was the amount that food is thrown away is criminal, and the fact that there are people, you know, homeless on the streets and that they can't, they're not allowed access to those bins, that's illegal. Just the whole system is completely bonkers. So as soon as you start opening people's eyes to that and they start to understand what's happening on not just a shop scale, but, you know, supermarket scale and then wholesale and farm level, it kind of enrages people and they want to do something about it. So I think it's very infectious that there is something we can do about this if you want to get involved, and most people, it's a no-brainer. So yeah, I think it was that knock-on effect of just finding the right people that would just donate so much of their time to me. And I think a lot of my close friends just saw me burning out, or they weren't seeing me because I was just out in my van all the time, or, you know, running around like a blue-ass fly. And so they wanted to help me as well. So it was a bit of both.
Okay, so people said, yeah, great, we've got food we can give you, and you go off in your van and you pick it up.
Yep.
And then getting the venues, and then it's saying, right, well, how are we going to create delicious meals from this? So who does the menu planning from when you see what you've got in stock?
It's pretty much a group collective. So we have a rough idea of what it is we've got. I mean, sometimes we don't know what we're cooking until the moment that we lay it all out, and it's that ready, steady, cook kind of style of catering, which
it's my
favorite,
is
a lot
of
fun. Yeah, it's creativity, it's inspiring, but sometimes we do know that we've got a glut of a certain thing. So we, you know, for example, one week we had 180 kilograms of carrots. We knew that it would be carrot soup and carrot stew and carrot mash, and, you know, trying to use these things up because they were starting to go bad, so we knew we had to do something with them. But it's a lot of that. It's this whole project seems to be about, we've got so much food, so we need to feed more people, so we need a bigger premises. We're kind of refining our volunteer process at the moment to make that a little bit easier, so that some people aren't just washing up downstairs for 4 hours, because that's not nice, we've all done it, and that they do get a chance to come and serve and talk to the public about what we're trying to do, get involved in some of the cooking or the juicing. Full time, it's me, Sarah Betts and George Beard. We're the kind of main team. So we do, one of us is at the cafes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, if not all of us. And then we're also trying to manage events as well, because we do outside catering. And I've just taken on Fuel for School as well. We launched that last week. We've already got a couple of schools that are very interested. same kind of model. Rather than redirecting edible food waste into a pleasureful cafe, we're redirecting it into schools. Because child poverty is so high at the moment, it's about 1 in 4, which is absolutely criminal. And a lot of kids are coming to school having only had energy drinks and sugary things, and obviously they can't be attentive, you can't learn. We go into schools and we try and give them bread and toast or porridge or fresh fruit juices, just a nice healthy staple first thing in the morning, in the hope that we can intercept more food waste, we can then educate kids, we can get them involved in the process, we can get them maybe going on interceptions, we can get them coming to do work in our cafes, teach them about sustainability, being self-sufficient, how to grow food, composting, you know, so really working, trying to educate the next generations so that hopefully we won't be as wasteful.
You mentioned about doing events, so mm-hmm. how does that work? Can people book you for any kind of event?
Yeah, so we just got to a situation where we can start to pay volunteers a living wage, which is something that we've been quite proud of. So what we tend to do is the volunteers that have been working with us for a long time, we kind of offer them the opportunity to come and help us with events. So we've done weddings, we've been to the Houses of Parliament and done waste canapes, constantly working with Synergy and a lot of the events that are going on there. So that's quite difficult because we don't have our own premises. Again, that's one of the most annoying things, is that it might mean that we have to cater for an event somewhere, but we have to cook it either at one church or St Luke's and then move it across the city, which is just a bit of a pain.
That is ringing so many bells with me from having done outdoor events and people saying, "Will you please do my event or my wedding?"
And think,
"Okay, yeah, great, right. Where is the kitchen?
Yeah.
How am I going to
go
to industrial estates
to
can I borrow your kitchen?"
Yeah, but we did International Women's Day at Brighton Dome recently. They've been absolutely wonderful as well. And we got to the kitchen at 9 in the morning, already had all our ingredients. There was nothing there, not a knife, not a spoon, not a pot, a pan. So we then had to rush back to one church in St Luke's and grab as much kit as we possibly could to actually cater. We've become very good at adapting to our environments to get the job done. So there are just lots and lots of different things that we've catered for. And we're in the process of getting our catering trailer sorted so we can be more mobile. So we've got our catering trailer, so that we've got a kitchen that is mobile that we can potentially stop on the street and feed people directly. That was our way of essentially trying to do more. We've been offered nothing from the council, which really has been quite frustrating. And all we hear from people is, "Oh, have you got onto the council?" Yeah, we did a full deputation. We addressed the full council and we've got them on record saying that they were going to help us find somewhere with storage and kitchen facility. So having that trailer is just our way of thinking, well, we didn't need you actually.
We've managed
to do it, and we're covering all the bases.
So what if you had a shopping list, a wish list now, of support or what you need right now to go the next stage in your business, what are you looking for?
We're looking for my dream is to have a kind of community centre where we could run 7 days a week. We could have breakfast, lunch and dinner. It could be a safe space for people to come in. Anyone's welcome. I'd like to have workshops, which we kind of do a little bit of now, but the workshops for how to cook healthy, nutritious food, how to, you know, cook on a budget, how to grow your own food. So we'd like to have our own garden with raised beds and stuff, how to be waste conscious. So just a lot of these kind of sustainability, teaching people about kind of really important issues at the moment. And then just having that safe space for people to come and interact, just a nice community hub, which this kind of is. It definitely
Well,
is,
here at one just... church, I've had a wonderful time. I mean, I queued around the corner to get in the first place. And somebody started chatting to me in the queue. Her name is Stephanie. She comes regularly. And I have had that wonderful time. I've sat at a long row of chairs and tables with people. We're all introducing each other. Some are freelancers. Some, you know, got suits on. Some haven't. All different backgrounds. And
we've
had a wonderful
happen?
Time. It doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
It's been
tragic.
A joy.
Yeah.
It's been a joy. And eating delicious food.
All would have been thrown away.
Which has been so good.
Yeah.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
We've got dirty plates passing us by, big armfuls. It keeps you strong going up and down these stairs. Meanwhile, while Adam and I are having a chat, we're actually sitting on the stairs. Adam has got his lunch on a plate, steaming away, looking really yummy, and we're
beautiful.
Just beside the toilet. So it's all go here, isn't it?
It's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Because 2 times 3 is 6. And 3 times 6 is 18. And the 18th letter in the alphabet is
R.
Yeah. We got 3 R's we're gonna talk about today. We gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Reuse, recycle. Well, if you're going to the market to buy some juice, you gotta bring your own bags and you learn to reduce your waste. We gotta learn to reduce. And if your brother or your sister's got some cool clothes, you can try them on before you buy some more of those. Reuse. We gotta learn to reuse. And if the first 2 R's don't work out, and if you gotta make some trash, well, don't throw it out. Recycle. We gotta learn to recycle. Gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle. 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 Because 3, it's a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number.
Is indeed the message here on Radio Reverb. You are listening to the Food and Drink Show. How you doing? My name is Karen Morton and I am your host today. We've got a studio full of guests. We're going to have some great chats. And many thanks indeed to Adam Buckingham from the Real Junk Food Pay As You Feel Cafe project. An incredible project. I have to say I was sort of blown away, not only by the quality of food, but also about the whole message behind just anybody showing up. Food being turned in from that would have gone into waste, being turned into delicious meals. And anyone who's sort of homeless, low income, you could be in a suit with your briefcase and you can all end up down in the in one of the cafes. So it is an amazing project. The music we just played, Jack Johnson and the 3 R's, reduce and recycle and all that kind of biz. And we're going to have another track from his, from the album Curious George. It was also film as well because it's very much in line with our message today. Now, while I was at the cafe with Adam and the crew, and they're making us all this delicious food, I made a new friend, because that's the whole idea about this project, is you go into these huge big halls and there's big long tables. It's a bit like a festival, a carnival atmosphere, and you just sit down and instantly you meet new people. And I would like to welcome now Stephanie Crescheroux. Welcome, Stephanie, to Radio Reverb.
Hi, Karen.
Now, Stephanie, we were outside one church on the London Road, and it was raining.
At 1 o'clock or around 1 o'clock, because the junk food project is from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, isn't it?
Yes, I couldn't believe it when I arrived. The queuing, it was unbelievable.
It wasn't a big one that day, but generally it's like, people queuing for 20 minutes, 25 minutes
to go in
and have a delicious meal. Of like, you get at least 7 or 8 or even, 10 different items on your plate. It's really nice.
Well, this is the thing, because, you know, often when you're looking at a menu, you choose what you're going to have. But literally, you can have a little bit of everything if you want to, or you can limit it.
Yes.
And you were certainly going for it, Stephanie.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
how
it works.
You were having the soup, you have the main course.
You have a bit of everything.
Now, it was lovely that we got chatting in the queue in the rain and then meeting some lovely people around the table.
Trevor,
exactly, sitting, having his chats with us. Now, you have been going to the project since the very beginning.
Yeah.
So why is that? Why have you been drawn to have your lunch there every week?
Well, because I think, the community spirit to me is very important. You know, where you live is where, you know, you meet the friends when you do activities. So that's the best place, you know, for our friends who work, or, you know, on Friday we try to not work and we say, like, hey, we all go and meet and have lunch there. You know, it's very convivial, you know. As it's a long, long table, you can just, you know, have 10 people along and
It's
and
so
everybody.
Wonderful. Yeah. And now, we were at one church, and it's very big and very organized there.
Yes.
So you've kind of got all the savory dishes as you come in and you get your plate and you move along. But then some of the other foodstuffs, there's breads and cakes and that, where you can literally pay a donation in the bucket.
Yeah, and take a bit of bread or potatoes or celery.
Yeah, take them home.
Yeah,
and
anything that hasn't been used for the meal on that day, they have, you know, kind of a supermarket of,
you
can choose and take and give.
And then there was this fresh coffees also that you can
small
have,
batch coffee, I think. Yeah, proper coffee. Yeah.
So, you know, this is all...
Which is also another social enterprise, because they are teaching people to become baristas.
Yes.
So the people who are behind the counters making the coffees are also learning to get a job and therefore also interact, you know, with everybody. So.
It is just fantastic. Yeah. Now, I went along there to one church, but I also went to St. Luke's in Prestonville.
Yeah, they just started that one on Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday at midday. This one starts at midday.
Yes, it's a little bit earlier. And it's still quite young. It's in its infancy yet. So please, if you're around, do pop in for lunch to St. Luke's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then Thursday, three Thursdays of the month, it's over in Hollingbury. And then you have one church is
Friday.
Every Friday.
Yeah.
So you're a bit like me, because you sort of are working in various enterprises, but quite often maybe working at your computer.
Yes.
It's just lovely
On your own in the day.
Yes.
And then that's the best part, you know, to have a conversation, have a good time.
It is lovely. And there's students. There was a guy wearing a visibility jacket and a hard hat. Yeah. There was several people with, you know, ties and suits.
Yes, people come from the office from Queen's Road. And they come and have lunch there. Yeah.
It is absolutely amazing, really, isn't it? Yeah. And the variety of food and the quality of it.
Yeah. Because even if it's not usable because of their sale-by date, it's still completely edible, you know?
Yeah.
It's still fine. There is not a date on the vegetable that says, no, you can't eat me after that. If it's not rotten, you can still cut it off and eat it.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you a very funny story, actually, about, you know, the whole thing about not letting food go into waste.
Mm-hmm.
My eldest son has been on this sort of health kick, and he's been buying up his chicken and his vegetables and all the rest of it once a week and filling the fridge.
Yeah.
Just about room for me. And last Sunday, I was going over to the bin, and I opened it, and there were these bags of vegetables.
Oh, the whole bag.
So when he had finished saying, oh, well, that's that week, now I need to go and buy more stuff, it was past its date on the packet, but he just chucked it.
Oh, my God.
So still in its wrapper, I took it out of the bin. And I made the most delicious asparagus soup, asparagus and garlic soup. And if you go to the BBC Good Food website, you can find this recipe. It's absolutely delicious. Asparagus, shallots, garlic cloves, spinach, vegetable stock, olive oil, a little bit of butter, and you blend it all up.
Yeah.
Absolutely delicious. And then I got his French beans and broccoli that he'd also thrown away, mixed them up with a bit of mushrooms, did a stir fry, and then I served them up that night for dinner, and I said to my house of men, well, you know, enjoying your dinner. Oh, yeah, it's great. It's the best. We love it. Yeah. And I said, well, Aaron, that ear there, all the vegetables that you threw in the bin earlier today. Yeah. And he looked at me. So we had a little bit of a re-education about, you know, when is a vegetable not good to eat or any foods thrown out. And he was absolutely flabbergasted. So I can see I have a little bit more education to do there, Stephanie, on that one. But anyway, it's terrific. So if you would like to go along, therealjunkfoodbrighton.co.uk. So that's www.realjunkfoodbrighton.co.uk. If you can support, go along. You can also find out about how to volunteer, or if you've got foodstuffs, or if you work for the council and you think that, hey, you could jump on board now and give Adam and the crew a little bit of help there. That would be good, wouldn't it, Stephanie?
Premises, you know, permanent premises. Yeah.
Storage.
Yeah, after the triple R, the double P.
That's it. Give all the help that you can.
Support, because everybody enjoy that, and it should be more available. I mean, there are so many supermarkets in Brighton, you know, that they could give all their leftovers like that to the junk food, and they could really feed, you know, generally they feed 200, 300 people on a Friday. They could feed much, much more, you know,
and
avoid
it's just
the landfill.
Yes, we're feeling the love. We're feeling the love. Stephanie, you're going to stay with us because we're going to do a little bit of tasting, and I want you here for tasting as well. But right now, we're going to have a little bit more music from Jack Johnson. And again, it's very well themed.
Thank you.
It's always more fun to share with everyone. It's always more fun to share with everyone. If you have to give one to your friend, if you have three, give one to your friend and me. It's always more fun to share with everyone. It's always more fun to share with everyone. If you have one, here is something you can learn. Still share just by taking turns. If you've got a ball, bounce it to the gang. If there is a new kid, invite him out to hang. If you've got one sandwich, cut that thing in half. If you know a secret joke, tell it and share a laugh. Drumstick, give one to your friend. Make one beautiful rhythm, share a beat that never ends. And if you're feeling lonely, share time with your mom. Share some milk and cookies and sing the sharing song.
Everybody knows.
It's always more fun to share with everyone.
It's always more fun to share with everyone. And that's what we were doing with the Real Junk Food Project, myself and Stephanie, eating down at One Church for our lunch at 1 o'clock on a Friday. And do be prepared to queue, because it's quite something if you haven't been. Now, we have two guests in the studio now with something that is, well, it's new to me, and I think it's probably quite new to most people. It's a Brighton food tour. Now, that sounds like my kind of thing. And I want to welcome Angela and Kat, who started this project.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Now, it was terrific because Melita contacted me and she said, Karen, I think you've got to have these people on the show because we've got the festival starting in May as well too, and we're all thinking about getting out on our streets. But what could be better than sort of having food and drink? But tell us now, what makes your tours a little bit special? Angela.
Well, the idea is that people doing one of our tours gets a real taste of what Brighton's all about. And Brighton for us, I think, is unique in the fact that it's really, there's a real spirit of fierce independence of Brighton. And our tour is all about celebrating that independence of Brighton and the independent producers and makers and food creators of Brighton. So it's all about taking people out on the street, seeing Brighton, but through their tongues, I suppose. So, and meeting what's great and good about Brighton and all our indie, small indie businesses that are making brilliant things.
Well, I love the way that you have Brighton Food Tours, VIB.
Yeah.
Very independent Brighton.
Yeah.
That was a good spin on that. Now, Kat, tell us sort of, if I pay for my ticket, it's £35 a ticket, and I join you. So tell me what we can expect on the tour.
Okay, well, we like to describe it as a bit of a smorgasbord experience, don't we? So the tour is around 2.5, nearly 3 hours. So you've got to have your walking shoes on.
Good.
You will get to visit between, I would say, 6 and 8 producers and vendors. You'll get a talk from each of those vendors. You'll get free samples. You'll get exclusive discounts at some of those vendors. You will get little snippets of local history, bit of food history, bit of food politics. You'll get to meet people and talk to them about what they do and share some of their passion. Bit of a demonstration, bit of cooking information as well. So there's a real something for everybody. And even for Brighton residents, you'll get to sort of see behind the scenes a little bit as well.
And it's really real Brighton as well. Yeah. So we really want to take people away from, you know, just the pier and the Pebble Beach and the Pavilion and sort of introduce people to real Brighton, off the beaten track a bit. So even for people that live here, to find some little hidden gems that maybe they've not seen, or they've seen it but they don't quite know about it, and just discovering a bit more of a flavour.
That's the thing about Brighton, isn't it? Because when you say, for example, you're looking for somewhere and then you discover a little street that you take a shortcut through and you think, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that this was here, and then you notice a little business, you know, with a funky little sign above it, and it's related to food and drink, and you think, wow, I never knew that existed. So can you tell us, without giving away too much, but tell us maybe about one of the vendors that you're going to take us to on the tours?
Okay, well, there is an amazing lady called Susanna who works down at the open market. She runs Rainbow Organic Chocolates, and she is a trained chocolatier. She trained in Paris. And she's in this little stall and she's making all of her chocolates on site, hand dipping all of her chocolates. It's a beautiful, beautiful bespoke product. And she serves the most amazing hot chocolate as well, really proper hot chocolate. In fact, one of the people on our trial tour said it was the best hot chocolate of her life.
I think two people said that,
independently. Yeah, amazing. And she is really fascinating, really fantastic person to talk to. And a lot of people won't know that she's there. It's a tiny little tucked away place just at the entrance to the open market, the level side. And her stuff is beautiful. It is bespoke. It is artisan. And it's a real steal. I won't buy my chocolate anywhere else now. For Easter, I went down and stocked up good and proper down there. It's fantastic.
And she's passionate about chocolate.
Yeah.
And she really, if you go down there, really have a word with her and find out about her chocolate and her training in Paris. Yeah. It's like a little exciting, magical workshop in there. It's really just all her. It's like a carpenter's workshop for chocolate.
I'm thinking of that wonderful film. I think we all.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yes. Chocolate. Even Stephanie here. How fantastic. That sounds great. So if anybody wants to go on a tour, so tell us, when is the next one and what does everybody have to do?
Well, they're running most Fridays and Saturdays starting next Friday coming, the 22nd of April.
Yep.
If you log on to our website, which is www.brightonfoodtours.com, or you email us at hello hello@brightonfoodtours.com.
That's good. Well done.
You can book on either of those ways, or you can contact us direct. Our phone numbers are on our Facebook page and on the website as well.
We're also on Twitter at BTN Food Tours.
Yeah.
And they haven't got a sheet of paper in front of them, listeners. They've got all on top of their head, because that's the hardest thing, actually, sometimes, is remembering everything, isn't it?
Remembering my name. Yeah. That's a challenge.
Well, I've got Kat and Angela with me from Brighton Food Tours. They're going to take you on a tour around streets you never knew existed to wonderful, very independent Brighton food and beverage connoisseurs. A real treat, £35 a ticket. Maximum group size is 10. So either you're going to fill the whole group or you're going to join in. But it's that whole sharing thing that Stephanie and I were talking about with the Real Food Project. Is that, you know, you're with other people, you're getting to know people and you're tasting, and it's just lovely to do that. Really, really fantastic. So we wish you all the very best of luck with the project. It sounds great. Listeners, again, the Brighton Food Tours, you've heard all about it here on the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb. If you've just joined us, my name is Karen Morton, and we've been talking about the Old Market. And your lovely friend, who's the chocolatier who trained in Paris, Suzanne. But our next guest has also opened a business at the Old Market. And if you've got kids, you'll be used to singing the nursery rhyme. You know, this little piggy went to market. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And eating sausage rolls. So again, Kat and Angela, please stay with us in the studio because I need you to do a little bit of tasting. Do you think you're up for that?
We can handle that.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do
it. Oh, well done. I'm impressed. Good. Radio Reverb, this is the Food and Drink Show. I'm Karen Morton. Welcome if you've just joined us. And as we were celebrating the coffee bean and the very popular Cuban bean in Brighton during Coffee Week, it seems apt that we have a little bit more Cuban music. Now, in the studio with me, I have the ladies Angela and Kat from Brighton Food Tours. I've got Stephanie, who joined me and is passionate about the Real Junk Food Project and has her lunch there every Friday. And now we're off to the open market. This little piggy went to market. And I've got Faye McStrong with me. Hello, Faye. Welcome to Radio Reverb.
Hiya.
Now, Faye, I was most interested in what you have to offer, and I called in because you just opened your shop at the old market, didn't you?
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks.
3 weeks now. Yep. Gosh, time flies. I remember the day you started.
It does. We've been there on a Saturday, every Saturday since the open market opened in 2014. Ah. But we've just opened the new shop, this little piggy.
Well, I have to say it looks very smart. And you've also got some books and mugs for sale and other interesting little things.
Yeah, we've got a good selection of British charcuterie as well from some guys up in East Sussex who make it just using their hands, not with any machinery or anything. It's really great. Pancetta and some nice spicy douya as well. So it's a lot of good stuff.
Angela and Katrina are going, yes. Yeah, nodding away like mad here. It's great. Now, what I loved, I ran in yesterday because having a couple of guys, in the house, they're always hungry for meat. Mm-hmm. So you've got pig and mix sausage rolls. So
pig and mix.
Or pig and mix.
You've got to get a pun in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's great. Pig and mix. Just gorgeous. And you've a little, what I love as well too, is that you have a menu that people can see what's in their miniature sausage rolls. So you've everything from American breakfast, and you've got the perfect match, which is Sussex pork, rosemary and garlic topped with poppy seeds, green chilli with limes and green peppers. There's a Lancashire lad with Sussex pork black pudding and Bramley apple. And I really got a taste from that. Satay style, Spanish senorita, Peking, original ones, and American breakfast. Now, what I loved with my boys yesterday was having the plate, and then everybody had to taste it and see, could they pick which one? And we had a pen and we went through just to see if we could get it. And it was so much fun, but they tasted delicious. So will Angela, Kat and Stephanie pass the taste test? So Faye, can you please share around the sausage rolls and just talk your way through them?
Okay, so we've got 10 different flavours here. These are all pork based. We use free range Sussex pork, but I do also have a vegetarian one because I know one of us is a vegetarian.
Yes,
here today. So if you just want to take a chance on that. That's a vegetarian one as well.
And so you're just, Faye, you're handing Angela the vegetarian one. So what is going into that?
The vegetarian one, we do, surprisingly, about the same amount of vegetarian sausage rolls as we do pork-based ones as well. But this one today is mushrooms, pui lentils, peanuts, and a little bit of cayenne pepper as well.
Mm. It's really lovely.
Is it good?
It's quite difficult to get a good vegetarian sausage. It's
You're absolutely right. I agree with you. Something can be very dry.
It's one of those things that I always would love to find. You know, I'm often, sausage roll is so known as such a meaty, you know, it's obviously a sausage roll, it's such a meat eater's thing. It's one of those things that I think veggies miss out on, that pastry.
We've gone away from kind of trying to use a fake sausage mix and use like proper ingredients just to make and of course wrap it in a lovely all butter flaky pastry.
It's really buttery and delicious. Exactly, no calories at all there. Long count of its energy. Now that's the other thing that I have to say, is that your pastry is particularly good. Kat and Stephanie, what are your thoughts there on the pastry?
Well, I've nearly finished mine, so I think that speaks volumes. It's really, really crisp. It's flaky. It's not at all heavy or doughy in any way, shape or form. It's really golden, very peeling on the eye, really lovely texture.
Thank you.
That's pretty lush.
It's the perfect match.
But do you know which flavour you've got?
The pork is very flavoursome.
I think I've got the perfect match.
Really buttery.
Yeah. Really cool.
Good.
I really like the veggie one. Has a bit real nice kick to it as well.
It does,
a subtle one.
Yeah, we also do a Bombay potato one for vegetarians as well, if you like it spicy. Yeah.
That's that true. Now, Stephanie, can you tell which one you have there in the pig and mix?
It was a perfect match.
You've got the perfect match. Would that be right, do you reckon, there? It's so much
I'm not
fun.
Sure. There's any crumbs left. It's a little bit.
Well, in the perfect match, you've got the pork, but you've got rosemary and garlic.
Poppy seeds.
Okay, quick dig in there. And can somebody hand me one as well?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
There's none left.
Which
sorry.
One is
Okay, lovely. I've got to go. Let me see what I've got here. Uh-huh.
Which one is a Spanish senorita?
And this is the one there topped with paprika.
This one,
yeah.
Okay.
That
And that one's got that one's chorizo one. And yeah, roasted chorizo. Red peppers in that one.
The chorizo is very good. And it's just the flavours. You get one flavour layered on top of the other. It's very clever. Who comes up with the recipe ideas for them, Faye?
Well, we started off just with the original one, which was sage and onion, which is what we used to make for parties just all the time. And then it was kind of just an idea to make pig and mix, and we just kind of come up with flavours all the time. In the middle of the night, we might just write down a flavour of, you know, ooh, what about mixing peanut butter in with a sausage roll? Yeah. And they just keep coming to us.
Now, you said that in the satay one, what is so lovely about it as well, too, is that even though there is a mix, there was little bits of peanut, you know, that you could feel the bite into the nut. And that's what I think is really lovely. So has anybody got that one that you can taste? Cash, what are you eating at the moment?
I've got the American breakfast, which I was looking for, I have to say. Smoky bacon, maple syrup and a maple glaze, and that is, I think I've died and gone to heaven on that one.
That is the bestseller one.
Well, I'm not
that's
surprised.
Our kind that's, of that's signature gorgeous. Sausage roll.
You do love a sausage roll, don't
I
you?
I do love a sausage roll. Love a good sausage roll.
They're very satisfying, aren't they?
Yeah.
Mm.
Stephanie, which one are you eating at the moment?
I've got a Spanish señorita, and the chorizo and the chili. Yeah, it's just perfect balance. Really nice. Yeah.
A little bit of red pepper in there as well. Uh-huh, isn't there?
Yeah,
paprika. Very nice.
Yeah, paprika is good. And yeah, you got your vegetable, haven't you? Is the green pepper?
Yeah, it's almost healthy.
It's one
you
of
know.
Your five. Delicious.
Now, the one thing, Faye, is that at the Little Piggy, at the open market, you also serve your own homemade beans.
We do.
How about that to go with your sausage rolls?
To make it into a full and hearty meal, you can take your five mini sausage rolls, or we do large sausage rolls and pasties and pork pies, and then you can have a side of our homemade smoky beans.
We better get you on the walkie-talkie.
Now, one of the things I was thinking about is, sorry, I'm just enjoying the flavour so much here, is that if I was entertaining, I think these would be gorgeous served on big trays, you know, as canapés. Do you do events, Faye?
We do events, yes, and weddings as well. We've got quite a few weddings booked up for this summer, but it's something that we really love doing, kind of giving them to a whole new kind of customer base. But at a wedding, when people have paid, you know, for them to be canapés or even a little take-home bag for people after the wedding when they're getting their bus or taxi back, it's quite a treat.
I got married last year, and I really wish that someone had told me to take back a doggy bag at the end, a piggy bag.
Yeah, that idea.
I think you should do that, yeah.
Because you get really peckish, don't you, when you've been at a wedding all day and in the evening, and so what a great idea. And kids' parties as well too. It's so perfect. So you're at the open market, you've got the Little Piggy. So how else can people get in touch with you, Faye?
They can find us on Twitter at McStrong's, on Facebook at McStrong's Snacks, on our contact details are all on that as well. We can also email at McStrong's at outlook.com, and our website is McStrong's.com, I think.
Well done. It's actually McStrong's.co.uk.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, well, you did very well.
I think we have McStrong's.com
as
well.
The Little Piggy, it's absolutely fantastic. Now, I've also given you ladies a little red to try. How's that going down? It's a Merlot. It's from South Africa. How does it taste?
Well, it went really well with my veggie sausage, actually. It really made that sort of peppery. It's lovely. It really
with
brought
the mushrooms
out the
in it.
Lovely
really
ruby,
nice.
Ruby colour, but not too heavy, you know, just,
just right.
Right.
I've been over the month, I decided that I would sort of try the whole naked wine delivery. And you become an angel. So I'm a little angel. And the whites were extremely good. And now I've been trying the reds. And I have to say that they're, you know, so far when I've been sharing them with people, there's some lovely French ones as well, sort of small independent vineyards. That's where they will really trade on. And getting this mixed case is very exciting. But the wines have been very good. And I agree with you. That one there from South Africa, it's about 14%. Proof, but it doesn't taste too heavy. It doesn't kind of knock your head, does it?
That's surprising.
So I must say a big thumbs up to the guys at Naked Wine. They've been putting a good selection and very good value for money as well too. So The Food and Drink Show has come to an end, ladies. Yes, a whole studio full of ladies. There we go. I want to say a big thank you to Stephanie Creschero for coming down representing the Real Junk Food Project. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to seeing you down there at the cafe again.
Every Friday
at One Church. Yeah. To Kat and Angela for the Brighton Food Tours. And I look forward to taking part. And
Please join us.
We would love to join you. So thank you for telling us all about that. Mm-hmm. And don't forget that you can go online and check out the Brighton Food Tours and book your space. There is some tours coming up Fridays and Saturdays. And also to Faye McStrong from the Little Piggy, this Little Piggy, and for bringing in some wonderful sausage rolls. They really are the pig and mix. They're the business girl. Round of applause.
Thank you.
Everything ticks the box with them. So thank you very much indeed. Really enjoyed them.
I've got some questions. I want to know you, but what if I could ask you only one thing, only this one time? What would you tell me? Well, maybe you could give me a suggestion so I could know you. What would you tell me? Maybe you could tell me what to ask you, 'cause then I know you. What would you tell me? Please tell me that there's time to make this work for all intents and purposes. And what are your intentions? Will you try? Gonna wait here if you let them. Please don't let them. I want to know.
Well, that's our third track from Jack Johnson and Friends, the sing-alongs and lullabies for the film Curious George. All very apt for our theme today. And that gorgeous little song there, With My Own Two Hands. Again, another nice one about saving the planet and sharing food. And many thanks to my guests who joined me in the studio to share food with us today. I hope you enjoyed sharing with us and that you've been busy scribbling down some contact details for getting in touch with all the lovely people. So that's it from me, Karen Morton, here on the Food and Drink Show, Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Some great music coming your way shortly.
Leave it long enough and watch it turn into stone. Must we all